Showing some love to the underappreciated army of publishers, distributors, and retailers who are as important to the print industry as the writers, editors, and photographers that put our beloved magazines together. A report from the DistroPress Congress 2017 coming up. From Midori House in London, this is The Stack, 30 minutes of print industry analysis with me, Tom Edwards. The process of bringing a magazine into the world doesn't end at the printing presses. Indeed, you could argue that a magazine's life doesn't truly begin until it finds its way into the hands of the readers. This is the purview of publishers, wholesalers, distributors and retailers. DistroPress is an organisation that brings them all together under one roof, figuratively, year-round, but also literally, at its annual congress, held in a different city each year. The most recent congress took place last week in the seaside town of Cascais, just outside Lisbon. We sent the show's producer, Henry Rees-Sheridan, over there to take the temperature of the industry. Henry began his trip by speaking to DistroPress president Karine Nevaillant.
This congress is main target is to provide members interactions and business through business meetings. So the members meet and they decide what is better for their business, for publishers, for distributors and service providers. So it's really very intense business meeting. I think if we count up, we might have about 20,000 business meetings over Monday to Wednesday, so a 2.5 days period for business meetings. And as well, we offer welcome party in order to have social mix and relationships. And we offer as well a big forum in the morning of the opening, that is to say this the Monday, offering speakers, guest speakers, high-level guest speakers, who will enlighten innovation in our business. So it's both very concrete of how to make money and how to develop the business and how to foresee the future with the forum.
Over the course of your presidency, so in your address yesterday, it was kind of your farewell address, right? Because this is the last congress that you're going to be attending as the president. And the president gets elected for a 3-year term, is
exactly.
That correct?
Exactly.
So you assumed the presidency in 2014.
Exactly.
What are the biggest changes within the industry that you've seen over that time?
The changes are really drastic, I would say. We are going to a very, a much more complex marketplace. And leading to very strategic decisions and as well a lot of opportunities. I would say for publishers, for example, the changes have been targeted toward using as much as possible the content, so valuable content, developing the quality of the publications they do, and use the content through their brand on different channel and platforms. This was the main, publisher move. For distributors, it goes through cost-cutting, work efficiency, restructuring, and as well purchase sometimes with mergers and acquisitions in that sector. On the retailers, it's a huge transformation for some of the retailers going to a more experience-oriented for consumers. So the market is completely changing, integrating digital as a key component of the strategic moves.
So many of these changes, as you mentioned, are being driven by digital. The shift to more content being provided on digital platforms relative to print. And part of DistroPress's job, as I see it, is to try to prepare its members who traditionally are involved in print distribution rather than digital, to prepare them to make the transition into this world where digital is more dominant. How are you helping your members prepare for that?
We are very conscious about that. And first, we ourselves made a big change, changing our logo, changing our baseline. Our baseline is now the world of press on print and digital distribution. Print and digital distribution. So we integrate the digital, but it shouldn't only remain a wish or word. We are a big platform for best practice sharings. And I think this is the main target of Distriprint, apart from this business meeting, which is the bread and butter of the Congress. So we wish to go ahead on that, providing good examples. I would say, for example, Claire Léost, the managing director of Lagardère Active, she came to Estoril, to our Congress this year, and she really spoke about how they, as publisher, integrated this multi-channel strategy. It's not only digital, I would say it's really multi-channel strategy.
And maybe you can mention a few of the specific publications which they deal with, so listeners might be able to get an idea of the kind of titles that you're talking about here.
Yes, it's a very big group in France. Mm. They publish, for example, Paris Match, the leading magazine at the export for the French titles. They publish Elle, they publish Télé 7 Jours, so they have a full range of big flagships, but as well smaller titles, targeted titles. So it's quite of a huge publisher, and their strategy on multi-channel is very efficient and quite quick.
You decided to make the move, well, I'm not sure if you decided, Distripress decided to make the move from Zurich to London. I think that decision was made at the beginning of your presidency in 2014, and then the move was actually executed last year in 2016. Why was that decision made? And I wonder, in light of the Brexit vote, do you regret it?
No, we don't. We don't regret it at all. We have chosen to. It was a common decision with my EC colleague. So we had a long search. We thought a lot before taking this decision. We thought that anyway we had to move from Zurich for the commercial part. That means that Distripress is still based in Zurich as an association. So it's an association Swiss-based in Zurich. But we open a representative office in London, because we feel that we have to be closer all year round to our members. And of course, our members were not really very often visiting us in Zurich, whereas in London, central London, moreover, they are coming and using our facility. So it's part of the strategy to put Distripress in the heart of being an association and a club where every member can feel that he benefits from the services provided all year round, and not only for the Congress, on both facilities, information, best practice, everything we can provide and share is very important. And to share, you have to meet. Not only, of course, we share through the website, through the flashes, through the communication, but as well through this nice office. And I invite you to come as well to visit us there in Chancery Lane. It's quite nice and quite vivid.
So you're stepping down from the presidency, but my understanding is that you're going to remain on the executive committee of Distripress. So you're going to continue to be involved in the organisation. What do you see the organisation's role as being in 5 years, in 10 years, and in 20 years' time?
And in a lifetime. Well, I think Distripress, as all its members reshaped, Distripress did a lot in reshaping, though it's not finished, as I say in my speech at the forum. And I think that now that we've really made the big decisions on the team, the location, the finance, the IT, and all the. Now we are quite ready to develop, and we have made a big strategic move toward integrating all the supply chain and being a real efficient club. We are quite ready now to develop more and put our strengths on the commercial. That means that to go ahead attracting members and providing good benefits to our members. Members from as printers, publishers, newcomers such as TNG in the US, such as Daily Telegraph as a publisher in the UK, but as well a service provider like Providor. And we have as well new members coming from different geographical area. And this is as well a target for the coming months and the coming years, is that to develop our members' number. For example, this morning, right away, we received a delegation of 15 Chinese people coming from publishing background and as well distribution background. And I think we will go ahead developing on regions such as Asia. And I think we have to develop more in the States as well, probably go ahead in Latin America. So we have a lot to do to build up on this safe and solid platform with this clear strategy now.
That was Distrobrass President Karine Nevaillant in conversation with Monocle's Henry Rees-Sheridan. If you want to effectively address challenges in any industry, you've got to have an accurate idea of exactly what they are. Jim Bilton is a media consultant who each year puts together the Distropress Circulation Monitor, a study of the most important factors influencing the print supply chain. Henry caught up with him too at the Distropress Congress.
What we do each year is a survey of what is happening around the world in press distribution, looking at the long-term sales trends, looking at how companies are structured, what the changes in the supply chain actually are. Because I think go back 10 years and I think most people around the world would say that each supply chain is completely different and distinct and has got its own dynamics. There is some truth to that, but I think the world is converging on a number of different issues about the shift from print into digital, about the balance between advertising and content revenues, but also from a retail point of view. And one of the big issues is the profile of the retail network and how retail is adapting to changing consumer patterns. But the big and fascinating ratio is a percentage of newspaper and magazine sales through supermarkets, which I think is a very interesting indicator of the shape and the trend of individual supply chains.
So I'll go on to speak about that in some more detail in a minute, but you compile your findings in a document, I'll call it, called the Distropress Circulation Monitor. Right. And that's a yearly thing that you present at the Distropress Congress each year. I think you begun your address this year by saying that it has been a difficult year so far. Why?
I think just all the pressures that have been building up over the last couple of years are just coming out into the open now with a series of closures, consolidations, mergers and acquisitions. It just almost by accident, once it's a domino effect, once it starts. So none of the issues are new, none of the pressures are new, but they've just been building. And there is a real sense that this is the year of change, and what happens in this year is going to shape supply chains for the next 5 to 10 years.
One really interesting aspect of your presentation that I noticed is that there was a survey of Distropress members where you measured business performance versus business optimism. And although there have been fluctuations in both measures, I noticed that consistently business optimism was considerably higher than performance. Is that just delusion? How do you account for that?
I think the cynical view is delusion and hoping it's all going to get better one day next year. But I think underlying that, there is a real serious business point that a lot of organizations are facing up to the fact that the world is changing. And the supply chain is at the conservative end of our business. I think the really fast-moving bits are at the top and the bottom. So publishing is changing, retailing is changing very rapidly. And I think the bits in the middle are catching up and are facing up to the challenges, but also that there are opportunities if they are agile enough and if they recognize what their skills and assets actually are, that they can apply those in different situations.
Let's talk on a more concrete way about some particular findings of your research this year. So you mentioned supermarket retail being a really interesting piece of the press distribution jigsaw puzzle. Why?
Because they are still the center of gravity for a lot of consumer purchasing, that they are the leaders, Amazon to one side. I think Amazon is just a massive disruptive force which is getting into retail and getting into everything. But the grocers are at the leading edge of data, loyalty clubs, experimenting with different retail formats. And because they're so big, they are able to take a longer term view and to invest in different formats, getting into convenience, the decline of the big hypermarket. So that they're shifting around and playing with different variants. And they still have a lot of space. There are very few retailers who have the space that they can devote to newspapers and magazines. So it varies from market to market. I mean, there have been, where the supply chain is much more publisher controlled, there has been much more caution about publishers allowing and wanting supermarkets to have access. But once they have access to newspapers and magazines, they just tend to increase their share.
And I think you bravely addressed the specter of Amazon head on quite early on in your presentation. In 2 or 3 minutes, if possible, just tell me some of the main ways specifically in which they're disrupting the industry and continue to do so and look like they're going to do so into the future.
Well, the first and I suppose the most obvious one is that they don't operate to the same financial criteria. They're a 1% company. They didn't make any profit for 17 years and now they are in profit, but they average 1% margin and are pulling down retail. So retail in the UK used to be a 5% margin business. They're now talking about it being a 3%. So their business model is different. They take a long-term view. And their ultimate aim is to be the buy-anything shop, that this is where everybody goes. So the Prime subscription is their vehicle, which they load everything into. So content, whether it's books, whether it's music, whether it is streamed filming, whether it's newspapers and magazines, is just fodder to lock people in to the Prime subscription. And they're just so innovative and challenging. They're into retail. They've bought into Whole Food markets. They're establishing their own Amazon bookstore, which challenges Barnes & Noble in the States. They're just into everything. And also, they've recently launched Subscribe with Amazon, which is a mechanism for Prime subscribers to consolidate all their subscriptions into one place. So all you need to do is to have your credit card sitting behind your Amazon account and you can buy anything. So world domination is what Amazon is all about. And anybody who gets in the way will be flattened. And newspapers and magazines are just fodder to fuel this massive machine.
Explain to me how you think established print players can muscle in on the digital distribution market.
Digital has a number of different dimensions to it. We often focus on the delivery of content. I think there's a major difference between newspapers and magazines. I think newspapers have entered a phase where news is a commodity. So what they can add value to is through analysis. And I think there's a natural weekly pulse to newspaper analysis. Magazines are slightly different. Magazines, print is still seen to be very much, in the consumer's mind, what the magazine experience is all about. That we've done some research in the UK where magazine readers describe print as a digital-free oasis. If they're in digital in their workplace, then magazines are a way of decoupling from digital. So it's more complicated on the magazine side. But I think we monitor what's happening. We benchmark publisher performance in the UK. What is clear is that the shift from print into digital is still there, is still significant and fundamental. It's shifting a lot more slowly than people were predicting a couple of years ago, partly because digital is coming online more slowly in terms of monetizing, but also a lot of consumers, certainly in the UK, still regard print as the real thing. They may not buy as frequently. I think frequency of purchase is an issue, and the amount that people are prepared to pay for print. But print per se as a platform is just another platform. Print is another device. And I think publishers having thought a few years back, digital is the future, it's another element of the future, and print is still there, probably with higher quality publications, probably higher cover prices, but is a long-term part of the magazine future and the media future.
That was Jim Bilton, Managing Director of West London Marketing and compiler of the annual DistroPress Circulation Monitor. Marcus Scherbel started his career in the publishing sector as head of subscriber marketing of Financial Times Deutschland and later head of subscriber marketing for Axel Springer's magazines. In 2013, he repositioned himself as a trade journalist, starting a monthly paid-for German language newsletter called PV Digest, reporting on press distribution. He was a speaker at the 2017 DistroPress Congress too, presenting a range of his findings and recommendations as an industry analyst. Henry caught up with Marcus in Cascais.
You gave a really interesting presentation this morning where you went into some quite granular detail. Well, it was analysis of print distribution and particularly retail distribution in Germany. You gave some really interesting facts and figures. But you started by pointing out that there is a really high proportion of press retailers within Germany. I think the figure was 14 press retailers per 10,000 inhabitants. Why? Why is that the case? What is it about print and Germany that make them go so well together?
In this case, there is a clear reason, and that is the history of German press distribution system is highly connected to the history of the biggest tabloid in Germany, which is Bildzeitung, which at best times, I think, sold 5, maybe even 6 million copies. And of course, as a high-frequency, high-circulation tabloid, they have chances to sell their paper at any given place, and they virtually try to build up newsstands at any given place. Very many of the German newsstands, those retailers who also sell some press products are bakeries or very small shops which are only selling this given Bild-Zeitung and very few other newspapers and magazines.
You made some really interesting points about the way retailers and people further up the distribution chain can work together and each kind of do their own part to increase revenue for all concerned. And one of the things that you stressed is important on the part of the retailer is category management. What is category management?
Category management is a retail business term which is known to any retail industry, to any industry selling its goods via retail. And in fact, it's a way to look how to optimize the offered goods of any given goods category in any given supermarket. That is category management. The question is, what is the goal of this process? Usually the goal of this process is to maximize the profits or the revenues of the single retailer. But category management projects in any industry are led by the industry leader, the top brands, the market leaders. They tend to create situations where those market leaders get more space, get better presentations at the cost of smaller brands. That in case of press, where diversity and a broad range of offered goods is a goal in itself, is kind of a problem, I think.
And an important component of category management, to use a technical term, is making your shelves look nice, is what I inferred from your speech. How do you get retailers, how can players elsewhere in the print distribution industry get retailers to present their products properly, get retailers to think about category management in a sophisticated way, beyond going into the shops themselves and kind of physically rearranging things?
That's the decisive question I think nobody has a proper answer to, because what happens at the moment is that publishers via the wholesalers are delivering their goods into the retailer store and say that's the job of the retailer to arrange his press shelves. But the retailer knows from many other industries that there are service people from the industry going to arrange their shelves, and they think, I don't want to care for this press shelf because it's anyway, it's such a strange category of goods. We do have fixed prices, we do have returns. I don't know even exactly which products are sold in my own shop, so I don't want on top to care for the press shell. The publisher should find his way of how to present his goods in the best way possible. But yes, the publisher says no, that's the retailer's role in this whole process. And only in the last few years, I think, both sides are realizing that they have to work together to find a way, to find a solution which works for both sides. But then it turned out that the retailer probably is the much more powerful side in the whole process. And this is the situation which generates a lot of tensions in the whole industry.
And a really important set of retailers, as Jim pointed out earlier, are supermarkets. What's the relationship between supermarkets and the wider print distribution industry like? Is there much dialogue there? Or
the traditional retailers are independent retailers. That is a single person often who is running his own kiosk or a very small store. Supermarkets, very many of them belong to big, no, mostly all of them belong to big chains. And so there are very powerful managers who are thinking about how to store their markets. And this is a completely different situation when you compare it to the independent traditional news retailers. But the whole circulation environment still is very much focused on those independent newsstands, and many traditions and many practices come from this world of independent news retailers, but are now applied to this world of very, very big companies, which in fact are the retailers.
And there needs to be some fresh thinking in that regard to try to adapt to these new retail environments. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, probably. You need some fresh thinking, new ideas, and you need to think what's the right point as an industry to behave like other industries do, and where's the right point to say, no, we're a special industry, and there are good reasons to remain a special industry and not to do anything as the other industries are doing. And coming back to category management, this is a very popular technique of optimizing the merchandise in a supermarket, but I'm not at all convinced that all those category management techniques which are developed for other industries work well in the publishing industry, at least not if you not only follow the goal to maximize the retailer's revenue, which is important, because if he wouldn't be able to maximize his revenue, he wouldn't sell press. So you must generate good business for him. But I think there are some other goals which are also very important, and you must not lose out of your focus.
To you, what does the ideal newsstand look like in terms of number of titles, the way they're arranged, the diversity of newspapers, magazines, different types of magazines? For you, what would be ideal?
The ideal newsstand is a very big newsstand. In Germany, you find that many travel retail points at big stations or maybe at airports, where often many thousand different titles are offered, arranged in a very attractive way, cared for very properly. This is the ideal newsstand. This obviously is not possible in any supermarket. So I think in a supermarket, I would expect at least some 400-500 different magazines. What I rather can say is the down end. I don't think that a press offering in a bakery is useful for anybody besides the three or five titles which are present in the bakery, because this is it's a lifestyle category, and you have to create an atmosphere you like to stand before a newsstand, to have a look at all those different magazines, and to get enthusiastic about this offering. And this is not possible if you have just a range of 30 to 50 magazines, which often some are sold out, so you have space where no newspaper is to be found in the shelf, and it must be cared for properly and should look very attractive.
Marcus Scherbel there, editor-in-chief of German language press distribution newsletter PV Digest. And that's it for this special DistriPress edition of the programme. My thanks to our producers Fernando Augusto Pacheco and, of course, to globe-trotting Henry Rhys Sheridan, and our editors Cassie Galpin and George McDonough. If you have any comments or queries, do write to Fernando. You'll find him at fp@monocle.com. And don't forget to join us at the same time next week. You've been listening to The Stack. I'm Tom Edwards. Until next time, it's goodbye and thanks for tuning in.